J.M. Ryerson, a successful entrepreneur and leadership coach, has founded and sold three businesses. With over 20 years of experience in business and sales leadership, he now helps leaders and teams achieve peak performance through coaching, speaking, and writing. As CEO of Let's Go Win, he's dedicated to fostering leadership, enhancing culture, and inspiring personal growth. Let's see what makes JM so buzzworthy.
Welcome to the Buzzworthy Marketing Show.
Welcome to the show, JM.
Hey, brother. Thanks for having me. Always good to see you. Anytime I get a little buzz in my life, it's never a bad thing.
I love it. I love it. So since the last time I talked to you, I've actually moved to Virginia. You did not know that.
I did not know that. How's that treating you, brother? Are you enjoying it?
It's so much better. So for those who don't know, I grew up in Northern California. I was actually born an Air Force brat over in England. So I've been everywhere. I've lived in 4 countries, 8 states now. But I lived in Alaska for 17 years. And when I took my business virtual, I let my wife decide whether she wanted to get another job. She was working for the University of Alaska at the time. There's a lot of politics going on. It's like, well, I'm virtual now. I can go anywhere I want. I got rid of a 13,000 square foot facility, and now I'm a free man. And she said, all right. And so she started looking around. We ended up in Springfield, Illinois, mid-states, cornfields and soybean fields. That's it. So huge, huge scenery shock, if you will.
Yes, big time.
Oh my gosh. And the weather was tremendously different and the whole nine yards. Her job ended up being a shit show there. And so this last move here, now we've moved twice in 5 years, is to just outside of Richmond. She's working at the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation and loving life. It's right in line with her purpose and her impact that she wants to give in her community with history, education, a whole nine yards. So yeah, loving it, living on a golf course now. So like, I can't complain.
Well, hopefully you're getting greener. Some golf in too, man. I mean, that's, but you know, you upgraded. No offense, Springfield, Illinois, but it sounds like for you and your family, you upgraded. So congrats, huge upgrade, man.
Yeah. It was funny. We came here for her interview. She had like a day long interview, 8 hours of just back to back interviews. And we're driving from Richmond to, there's about 45 minutes between Richmond and actually it's almost an hour. Anyway, the drive down, and I found myself in the car and I'm smiling and I'm like, why am I smiling? And I come to find out, I was like, it's all the trees. There's trees everywhere here. I'm like, I love it. And the topography is not just flat. Yes. There are no cornfields to look at. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm definitely more of a mountains guy. So we're only like an hour and 20 minutes away from the Blue Ridge Mountains. And we're only about an hour and a half away from Virginia Beach. So perfect spot for us. DC is only 3 hours away. There's just lots. Everything's within reach. This was beautiful. So we're really excited about that. So what is new in your world?
What's new in my world? Well, I didn't move across the country like you did. I did that 3.5 years ago.
Okay. Let's see. Where are you at now?
I'm in South Florida.
Florida. Okay. You're just down the street.
Down the road now, man.
I have so many people who are retiring down in Florida and like in Illinois, that's where everybody went. They were like, and so now we're done with this. We're going to Florida.
Yeah. And so the Illinois folk ended up probably on the west coast of Florida, which, you know, Naples, Fort Myers, the east coast. It goes by freeways, by the way. I know this isn't the question you asked, but 75 goes straight down, and that's where all the Midwest ends up in west coast of Florida. 95 uh-huh. goes straight down, think New York, all the way yep. down. That's yep. where they migrate to. It's crazy to me how
that is
literally
amazing.
It's based on traffic still today. But let's see, what's new with me? My son is going to college. He will be playing tennis at Marquette. So he's going to go in the Midwest and go freeze his butt off. So that's new.
Only during the winter. It is hot as balls up there. I did not understand how hot it could get in a northern state. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, man, the Midwest, man, you get some humidity. Maybe not like I'm dealing with now in Florida, but no. Yes. So that's what's new. He's going to go play tennis there, and that's going to be amazing for him and really hard for my wife and I, because our baby's leaving the nest, and it's going to be hard. Business-wise, man, it has just been awesome. I was telling you off air, I've been just partnering with companies, helping them double their revenue, and it's a win-win, man. They're doubling their revenue. I get a small piece of equity. It's like, it has just been so much fun. So yeah, that's been what I've been doing, and it's just been fun, man. Life is
good. Awesome. So for the folks who haven't heard of you before, let's talk about what your business is. Let's Go Win. Mm-hmm. What does your business do, and who do you serve?
Yeah. So small businesses is who I serve. And I know everybody's like, what's your niche? Well, here's the deal. I niched for a minute with dentists and dentist practices because they suck. What's that?
That sucks.
No, I love them. I absolutely love them, because here's the deal. They are awesome at drilling teeth. They suck at sales and leadership. Well, guess what? Yep. I'm good at sales, leadership, and building teams. So great fit. And I did niche there for a while, and I still do. I still have dental practices, but I keep getting pulled into these other areas. So what do I do? I am great at sales, leadership, building teams. That's about it. There's not much more. I'm not going to be a good accountant. I'm not going to be a good COO. I'm not like, no, man, if you want that, bad guy for your spot. But if you want to go kick ass in sales and leadership, like, okay, give me a call. So I get to do that. I get to do what I love, because that's what I did in the first three companies that I built and sold. And now I do it on a smaller percentage. But it's created this amazing win-win. So, yeah, man, Let's Go Win. It's all about inspiring people to live their best lives. And that's a way that I get to do that, is work with these business owners that are maybe frustrated with their growth. And it's like, hey, maybe a fresh set of eyes, and let's get you clear on where you're going. And it's really actually easy for me, but it's really fun, man.
I love that. So I say it sucks, isn't it? Like, if that's all you worked with was dentists. I have a friend who did that. He only worked, and he's been doing it for a while. And then he went all the way down to say he only works with dentists who do veneers. And he only does the marketing for the veneer part of their practice. And I was like, wow. To me, I'm a creative. And the one thing that I love about who we serve, which are B2B, professional services, consultants, and fractionals, is that the fundamentals are the same in the B2B services world, right? But every one of those stories is different.
Yes.
But what I have found in the single, and not so much in the groups, because I work with a group, and that's much more interesting, because there's multiple locations with different stories in each location, and you got to create that there. But I found, like, with the single location dentist, that it was like just the same thing over and over. They all want the one thing. And they all do all of the things, right? And so it's always the same. That's why I was like, oh, that would suck. But it sounds like you're leaving your horizons open. When people come to you, what is usually the biggest pain point? I know you're going to say sales, or they're going to want more to close more, but really, what is the underlying problem that you're solving when you come into a business that's struggling with their sales?
Yeah, it really is clarity. It's funny. It's not funny. It's ironic. It's interesting. I can ask the same question to 1,000 companies, and 999 will get it wrong. I'll just ask, you know, hey, what are the values of the company? And one company executive will say a set of things. The next will say something different. The next will say something different. And it's crazy, because you're trying to go accomplish whatever your goal is, but not everybody's on the same page. They don't even know why the company exists, what you're trying to accomplish. So really what I start with, Michael, is I just ask basic questions about who are you? What are you trying to accomplish? What are your goals? And they don't have clarity on it. Once we get clarity, now we get to work on sales. Now we get to work on what's your leadership philosophy. How do you build your team? Do you have the right people in the right, you know, seat on the bus? Should they even be on the bus to begin with? And it's crazy, brother, because it's simple questions, but they end up being pretty profound because they're spending so much time spinning their wheels with the wrong people or the right people in the wrong place. Once you get that clear, and it's amazing. It's like, oh, now it's not hard to grow. And I just happened to figure it out along the way in my companies, and now I get to share with some of the others.
It's so interesting because it's not very often that you hear somebody talk about sales and leadership. And when we talk about, we hear leadership in sales or sales leadership, but not sales and leadership, right? How did you come to connect those two as a single service in your offerings?
So here's what I say. I sell them what they want and I give them what they need. Leadership doesn't really excite people for the most part. They're like, okay, great. But if I say, hey, I'm going to help double your revenue. Well, they're like, well, that's too good to be true. That can't happen. Well, here's my track record. Every company I've ever worked with, that's what we do. So, okay. But so I sell them what they want, which is double your revenue, and then give them what they actually need, which is all the clarity stuff that that we talked about, all the leadership philosophy stuff that doesn't excite people, but it's actually what's going to allow your company to scale to much bigger heights. Now, I figured that out because I stubbed my toe along the way, right? And I didn't have the proper leadership. So now it's like, it's not that challenging, but we weren't taught this stuff. So now I get a chance to just go educate and work with people and partner. And that partnership, brother, it is so fun. Like I just get psyched every single day because I get to go work on somebody else's dream and we get to help them accomplish it. So it's so cool.
That's awesome. And so, and you work with companies all over the United States.
I do. Yeah, man. Oklahoma City to Seattle to down here in South Florida, California. Yeah, all over.
I'm sorry you have to go to California as often as you probably have to. So, but as a former Californian, I have a small sect of friends still left there, a couple of family members that are still haven't become the California refugees quite yet. But, when we're talking about doubling our sales and we talk about the leadership and the clarity, it reminds me a lot of like when you're talking about values. And I think that it's interesting that you know, when we do ask the C-suite, you know, what are the values? It's the values that they usually wrote, but when you ask the senior leadership right below the C-suite, what those values are, they don't remember them, right? Because they were taught them, but then through action, they're just reiterating what they know or through action. So it's interesting to see how people will write values. They'll put them on their website. These are our values. But then when you go to work with them, their actions don't reflect those values. And having that clarity of values from the top down, because it is a top down culture, that you don't permeate your culture from the bottom up, right? I don't know one company that does that successfully yet. But what do you think the biggest disconnect in getting the ownership's values permeated all the way down to the line level worker?
Yeah, there's two things. Sheer repetition. Every meeting I ever have with my company, the first thing I start with is who we are, what our values are, what we're trying to accomplish. Very few companies do that. And the reason I want them to repeat it over and over and over. The other thing is those values that you're talking about or these beautiful mission statements that are on walls that no one ever looks at. It's too much, right?
Yeah.
Most companies, they have like 10 values. Okay, great. Try to remember that. You have no chance.
Yeah. No.
After three, you have diminishing return. So what I coach on is what are your three values? And you repeat it over and over and over. And here's why.
I love it.
It says 66 days to create a new habit. So if you just came up with it, put it on your website, and you never talked about it again, no one has a chance of knowing what the values are. You literally have to repeat it again and again and again. And now people start to embody it, not just words on a wall or a website, but it's actually who we are to the core, to our DNA. It's how we are forward facing. Everyone acts that way, but it is repetition, which I know isn't sexy, but it's the way it works.
But I think that that says something about business. I think that people, you know, this generation of entrepreneurs that we're going, I mean, both of us have been in business for a long time and owned multiple businesses and been through the ringer a few times as well. And it's weird because when I got into business, I thought, okay, once you get to a certain level, it's all smooth sailing, right? Mm. And boy, was I wrong on that one right there. So, so then it's okay. Now it's a journey. Okay. I got the journey. But when we talk about like the complexities of like what you're saying, like there's this beautiful mission statement and they don't realize that it's not just writing it down and saying it over and over again. It's acting the part. Mm. Like I find myself as a leader when I have anybody in my company ask me, what should we do here? Like they give me the situation and I say, what should we do here? Well, our core values say X, Y, Z, and whatever value it is that pertains to that situation. So what do you think? And then usually they go, oh, now I'm teaching them how to use the values to make decisions in the company without me.
Yeah. And I feel so good. Sorry.
No worries. No worries. I appreciate that. So I'm wondering like why are values a thing that were created in the 80s and the 90s and are just because I don't see them in the newer businesses. All they have a vision of like, I want to build a $10 million company and sell it for 16X. That's their vision. Where when we were growing up, it was, I want to impact XYZ. Like it was usually an impact or an influence or a disruptor action, something like that. Versus this younger generation of entrepreneurs, where do you think the disconnect in what an actual vision and core values is in these days now?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. You do have a lot of solopreneurs that they wouldn't think of it because it's their company, and why do I need values? I'm me. I know what I am. And even in that case, it's so important forward facing to your clients that they know who you are to the core. Why mm-hmm. we've gotten away from it? I don't know, man. We live in a pretty complex world that it's so fast, so furious that it's just, what can you do for me now? That I think people aren't like, well, you know, integrity or trust, or for my company, it's happy, healthy, wealthy. That literally every decision I make has to do with those. I think people are so... I just got to get this done. Like you said, I got to get to this X EBITDA so I can get out of the business. Okay, cool. And I support you on that. However, if you had your values, you will get there faster because you will service your clients better. They'll know who you are. People will like savagely refer you to other people when they're like, hey, get behind this company. We know who they are. I think if the newer generation could get behind that, they will grow that much faster.
Oh, I love that. And the fact that, you know, when a company is built on values and you make decisions on the values, it makes for a, it's like almost like a, an instruction manual for the business. How do you guys do business? We do it through these 3 to 5 values. I agree with you, the 3, and we have 5 and we say no more than 5. Right. And after 6, it's like, okay, what's your actual priorities? In those, right? But it's amazing when people talk about, well, I'm going to sell my business. Well, what are you selling? What do you mean? I'm selling my book of business. Well, what's keeping your book of business there without you? Right? And so many people are selling themselves in the service-based industries that they forget that the values are something that stand on their own, even if it's just you. Because you could have a solopreneur business, especially in marketing nowadays, where a big firm would buy you out because it's easy. You don't have any employees to worry about. But if you don't have those values that are being sold against versus you and what you bring to the table for your client list, you're not, it's gonna be a lot harder to sell, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And here's the other thing. It makes you not recession proof, but damn near. Like you were in the internet bubble when the companies that stayed around, they were the ones that were really clear on who they are. 2008, 9, 10, same thing. Mm-hmm. The companies that went away, they weren't clear on who they were. They weren't clear on who they service. So during the great times, it's really easy to not have to have these values because the economy's booming. It's crushing it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When you have your values and it goes through the pandemic, you don't have to shut the door. You have, again, these people that are like rabid fans of you because they know who you are. They will run through a brick wall for your company. Those are the companies that make it through. And we've seen it. Like, I mean, those are three examples where the economy wasn't ideal and the strong companies that were clear on who they were, they made it. Now, they may have had to pivot a little bit. Cool. But the value of who they were as a company never shifted.
Right. No, I love that. And, you know, it's funny because through the COVID, I was in the middle of a reinvention of what I wanted to do for business. So I had shut down a creative agency and started a marketing firm. And in that, and went virtual, as we were talking about earlier. And so with that, though, I did keep a lot of the clients that we, a handful of the clients that we had had with the creative agency. And that we only lost one client at all of those. Wow. And the only reason that was is because the type of businesses was, it was a daycare. They had no clients. They couldn't. It was illegal in Alaska for the kids to get dropped off there. Right. So there was nothing I could do. There's nothing they could do. It wasn't that they didn't love us. It's just, they couldn't, there's nothing to market if there's no clients, right? There's nothing for them to pivot. Right. And I think that, you know, when we talk about recession proof businesses, there are certain types of businesses that will go through depressions, recessions, and pandemics for sure. If they have what you were talking about. And then there's others that are, you know, if the government shuts you down, the government shuts you down. I mean, this is where it goes. And it's crazy that we live in a country that can happen. But with that said, when people are when we're talking about the solopreneurs, I really feel like this is a really good point that you've made today, in that they need to have a set of values, regardless of the fact that they might be the only ones in the company needing to follow them. How does one approach creating that in a vacuum of solopreneurship?
Good question. There's a couple ways to do it. A, just sit down, get quiet with yourself and ask yourself, what do I truly value? Because it simplifies your business. Everything, every decision you make, it truly simplifies it. If you're struggling with that, or you don't like to be quiet with yourself, go to your closest 5 to 10 confidants and say, when you think of who I am, what do you think of? What attributes really speak to you? That idea of getting feedback from people you most trust and love and have a clear picture of who you are, you will be shocked at how on the money, spot on, they will come back and say, this is how you show up. This is who you are to your core. And immediately you'll recognize it and you'll grab those. Again, I coach on 3, but you know, like you said, 3 to 5 where you're like, yep, got to have those. And when you do, oh my gosh, making decisions, everything becomes so much easier.